Well, I invite you to take God's Word and turn with me to the Gospel according to Mark, Mark chapter 1. And today we find ourselves in verse 40. The title of the message today is The Master's Touch. And I want to begin reading in verse 40 of Mark chapter 1. And our text today will take us through verse 45 as we continue this extraordinary journey through the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And each installment is yet another picture of Christ and how Christ dealt with people and how He continues to deal with us and how we should live in Christ's likeness. So Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 40, I want to read the text first. The Word of God reads, "And a leper came to Jesus, beseeching Him and falling on his knees before Him, and saying, 'If You are willing, You can make me clean.' Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out His hand and touched him, and said to him, 'I am willing. Be cleansed.' Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he sternly warned him, and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them.' But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere." The most feared disease in the ancient world was the dreaded disease of leprosy. It was a disease for which there was no cure, and which resulted in a certain and slow death. Leprosy began with a pain in a certain part of the body, which soon led to nerve damage, and numbness and loss of feeling followed in the hands and in the feet and in the nose and in the eyes and in the ear. And then suddenly, bodily destruction followed because the nervous system, the warning system of pain, was unplugged. And with all sense of feeling and pain gone, the one contracting leprosy would literally rub themselves incessantly, and in the whole process they would feel nothing, and they would in essence rub their nose, their ears, their fingers, their body off. The skin in that place would lose its color. Then the skin would turn thick and glossy and scaly. Thickened skin spots became dirty, open sores with oozing ulcers and raw flesh. And the skin, especially around the eyes and the ears, began to bunch up to make deep furrows between the swellings, and the face of the leper began to resemble a lion. Disfigurement resulted. Fingers literally dropped off until the hand was merely a nub. Toes fell off. The disease attacking agent attacked the larynx, and the throat became hoarse, and the voice became rasping and grating. Foul odor enveloped the person. Eyebrows, eyelashes dropped off. The entire condition only deteriorated further, going from bad to worse to death. And as you can tell from this description, the dreaded disease of leprosy was a slow and awful death, in which one literally died in slow motion, in progressive stages of self-destruction. And so no wonder it was the most feared disease of the ancient world. And added to this, in the Old Testament, God chose this ugly foul, hideous disease to be a graphic illustration of sin. This one disease, more than any other disease on planet Earth, God drew a circle around this disease and moved it forward and said to the world, this is a picture of the leprosy of sin in the soul. Sin is like leprosy. Sin is a spiritual leprosy of the soul. Sin infects the whole, leprosy infects the whole person. So does sin. Leprosy runs deeper than the skin to the very core of a person's being. So does sin. Leprosy is ugly and loathsome. So is sin. Leprosy contaminates and spreads to others. So does sin. Leprosy defiles and results in certain death. So does sin. Leprosy results in all loss of feeling and makes a person insensitive and unresponsive. So does sin. Leprosy is completely incurable by man. So is sin. Leprosy renders things fit only for the fire. So is sin. Leprosy can be cured only by God. And so it is with sin. There is no disease from the ancient world or from our present society that so graphically pictures and portrays the hideousness of sin as does leprosy. Sin is much like leprosy. It is a loathsome disease of the soul, only worse. For rather than destroying the body, sin damns the soul. And so we can see why this passage is so very important. One, because it reveals someone who, physically speaking, had contracted the most feared disease of the ancient world, and Jesus healed him. But two, this text is also important because it reveals to every one of us, spiritually speaking, the dreaded disease of sin. But more than that, this healing of this leper is a powerful picture of salvation. This miracle was immediate. This miracle was instant. This miracle was complete. It was whole. It was free. Just one touch from the Master. And this leper was instantly healed. I want you to know one touch of saving grace from the Lord Jesus Christ is all that is needed to make you whole and to make you new. One touch of saving grace. And the question this morning is, has the Lord touched your life? Has the Lord extended His grace to you? And has the Lord made you new? And has sin, that contaminating, foul disease that corrupts the soul, has the Lord touched your life and made you whole? Let's look today at this text. And let's look and see how the Lord worked in this leper's life. I want you to see first the leper's coming. That's in verse 40. The leper's coming. That's how verse 40 begins. And a leper came to Jesus. Stop right there. That this leper even came at all is astounding in itself. Because lepers were forbidden to come close to non-lepers. They were actually confined by the Word of God. They were fenced off by the Mosaic Law to live in isolation outside of town. Lepers were not allowed to have personal contact with any non-leprous person. No social contact. No physical contact. In fact, they lived in a colony unto themselves. They lived in a leper's colony away from everyone else, and this restriction was placed there by God Himself. Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45 and 46 makes this very clear. In verse 45, as for the leper who has the infection, God's Word says, his clothes shall be torn. It is an act of mourning and grief that the leper would have over his own sorry condition. And the hair of his head shall be uncovered, meaning disheveled. And he shall cover his mustache. And the reason is his skin is so corrupted he cannot shave. And so he is to throw the skirt of his garment over his head and cover his face so that the disease would not spread to others. So he would walk around with his garment over his face when he would even approach anyone, and he was to cry out, unclean, unclean. And if a leper came anywhere near a non-leprous person, before he could say anything or do anything, he was required by God to cry out, unclean, unclean, and it was a warning for other people to go in the total opposite direction. And so now we see that this approach by this leper is so astonishing. He has heard the good news of Jesus' healing power that has reached all the way to his segregated hut. And the reports were circulating by word of mouth that Jesus of Nazareth is in Galilee and he has the power to heal. And so hope leaped within his heart. And the level of expectation rose so high within him that this one leper rose to his feet and he did the unthinkable. He left the isolated confines of the leper's village and he walked into the populated town in Galilee. And he fought through the pressing crowd. And he cared not what anyone else thought. And he pressed ahead to the very place where Jesus was standing. And he cast himself at Jesus' feet, this mass of rotting flesh, this man. And as he lay on the ground at Jesus' feet in the midst of this crowd, he begged for mercy. And certainly the crowd there that day was aghast as this man has crossed the line. And this leper now has come into our town. And this leper has come into our presence. And this leper has come into the very presence of God Himself. And come he did. This is exactly what each and every one of us here today must do spiritually before Christ. We must come to Jesus. We too must not care what others think. We must fight through the crowd. And we must come straight to Jesus. This is what the words of the great hymn say. Come ye sinner, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness He requireth is to feel your need of Him. Come ye weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. If you tarry till you are better, you will never come at all. I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in His arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms This is what this man is doing. And spiritually, that's what every person in this building must do. You must arise and go to Jesus. Not just to church, not just to a Bible study, not just to be with other fellow lepers. You must arise and within your heart go to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. This is the leper's coming. And it pictures every one of us must come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, I want you to see the leper's cry. For once he came to the Lord Jesus and fought his way through the crowd, I want you to notice what the leper said to Jesus. Notice the leper's cry in verse 40. Notice he cried out desperately. It says, beseeching him. This leper was begging the Lord Jesus, imploring him. Too many sinners, when they arise and go to Jesus, are way too stoic, way too yawning within their soul. No wonder they never leave with Jesus in their heart and leave with Jesus in their soul, because they're too proud to beg and too proud to beseech the Lord Jesus Christ for what they need. He cried out desperately, beseeching him with urgent pleas. Secondly, he cried out reverently. Notice, falling on his knees before him. And this verb, falling on his knees, comes from a Greek word that means to prostrate one's self. It's translated elsewhere in the New Testament, worship. And this leper falls on his face and acknowledges the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, in Matthew's cross-section, Matthew 8:2, the leper addressed him as Lord, acknowledging this the Son of Man's deity. Third, he cried out humbly. Notice, he said, if you are willing. There's no demands here. The sinner cannot demand anything of the sovereign. This leper did not commanding that Jesus heal him. He asked to be healed only if it were the Lord's will. He did not claim to be worthy of this. And this man claimed no rights, but surrendered and submitted himself to the Lordship of Christ and said, if you are willing. And then finally, he cried out believingly, you can make me clean. You have the power to make me new. You have the authority to make me clean. He was absolutely convinced that Jesus was fully able to heal him and to make him a new person on the inside, and there was nothing that he could do to change his own life, to pull himself up by his own bootstraps. He had only one hope in this life, and it was with the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything else would just be outward, external religion. He needed Jesus at the very depth of his being. And so this represents the sinner's cry for salvation. When he calls upon the Lord for salvation, we too must humble ourselves before Christ and confess our sin and admit our spiritual leprosy and say to the Lord, Lord, cleanse me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, save me. This was the leper's cry. Now I want you to note third, in verse 41, the Lord's compassion. Please note how the Lord responded to this man with loathsome sores and diseased body. Verse 41, this leaps off the page. Moved with compassion. The Lord did not respond as everyone else did. The Lord was moved with compassion. And this word compassion is a word that means to feel something very deeply. And literally in the original language, it means to feel something in one's bowels, down in one's gut, down in the pit of one's being, down deep, deep within. The Lord Jesus felt for this man. He felt His way into this man's heart. And Jesus connected with this man at the deepest level. And as Jesus looked at this man, He looked into this man and felt compassion and love and pity for this man. And notice what Jesus did. Jesus stretched out His hand. Rather than pull back, Jesus reached out. No one has ever done this to this man. For every one step He has ever taken toward another human being, that human being has always taken 10 steps back and 10 steps away. And this man throws himself upon the ground before the Lord Jesus Christ and says, "If You are willing, make me clean." And all in the crowd that day took those 10 steps back while Jesus stretched out His hand. Jesus was not repelled and Jesus was not repulsed. The heart and the will of Christ was drawn to this loathsome leper. And notice what it says. "And touched him." Jesus did the unthinkable. Jesus actually touched the leper. He could have merely spoken the word and said, "Be cleansed." Jesus intentionally and purposely to convey what was welling up inside of His heart, reached out and made direct contact with this man. It was more than a superficial contact. Literally, this word means Jesus gripped him and took hold of him. It's very clear in Mark's gospel that the Lord delighted in physically touching people who were in need, to convey His identity with them and His oneness with them, and it was very appropriate. Earlier in this chapter, in verse 31, Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, taking her by the hand. In chapter 5, Jesus healed Jairus' little daughter and took her by the hand. In chapter 6, verse 5, He lay His hands on a few sick people and healed them. In chapter 7, verse 33, Jesus encountered the deaf and dumb man, and Jesus took him aside, away from the crowd, and Jesus put His fingers into the man's ear, and then spit and touched the man's tongue in an act of tender compassion and intimate contact. "I am reaching out to you," In chapter 8, verse 23, Jesus did almost the same thing for the blind man at Bethsaida. Jesus spit on his eyes and lay his hands on him once. And then Jesus laid his hands on him again a second time. In chapter 9, verse 36 of Mark, and in chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus repeatedly took little children into his arms. And in chapter 9, verse 27, we see Jesus raising up the formerly demonized boy and taking him by the hand, he healed him. This compassionate touch by the Lord Jesus Christ was so intentional, and it was purposeful to convey to this leper, I am connected to you. And he touched him. No doubt the onlookers were shocked. The disciples were aghast. Jesus touched this ceremonially unclean man. And now Jesus, under the Mosaic law, would be considered to be unclean. And beside, he might now catch the disease, or so they thought. But I will tell you what is even more shocking than this, is that the Holy Son of God has left the glory of heaven and has come into this sin-cursed world and has come to live inside of a foul sinner like you. He has done more than touch you. He has taken up residence within your soul. He could not be any more identified with your life than this. I want you to note the Lord's cure. Please note the Lord's cure. Beginning in, or the end of verse 41. And said to him, I am willing. You need to know this is in the present tense, which means I am always willing. I am forever willing. My heart is willing to reach out to those who are diseased. I am willing. Be cleansed. And he changes the verb tense to a verb that communicates a definite act at a point in time. I am continually and always willing, now at this moment, be cleansed. And Jesus commanded this man to be cleansed, and in so doing, he commands the disease of this leprosy to be gone. Just as Jesus commands demons and they leave. Just as Jesus commands the storm and the waves, they obey and do His bidding. So the sovereign authority of Jesus Christ is exercised, and there can be only one response, for He has all authority in heaven and in earth, and the leprosy immediately left this man. Look at verse 42. Immediately. This is Mark's favorite word. Immediately. Instantly. Suddenly. That split second. Immediately the leprosy left him. It had come on in stages. It had progressively gotten worse. It had gone through all of the deteriorating phases, from pain to numbness, to the fingers dropping off, to the toes dropping off, to his whole body becoming disfigured. But in a moment, in a split second, it was all undone, and instantly the leprosy left him. It vanished. His feet, those toeless, ulcerless stubs, were suddenly whole. The knobs on his hands. Instantly fingers grew back. Back came his hair. Back came the eyebrows and the eyelashes. His skin was instantly, in a moment, subtle and soft. The nose came back. Previously he had been crying, unclean, unclean. And now, in a moment, he can cry out, I am clean, I am made new. It's the Lord's cure. It is whole, it is complete, it is instant. And this is how quickly you can be saved today. You can be saved instantly and immediately. You can walk into this house lost and you can go home touched by the Master and saved. There is a day to be saved, an hour, a moment, a second to be saved. That is how quick the transaction comes. There is no process of being saved. Look on your driver's license. How many dates are there for your birthday? One. And so it is when you are born again by the Spirit of God. It's in a moment that you leave darkness and enter into light, that you leave death and enter into life. It is that immediate. Because it is that supernatural to be saved. Has the Lord touched you? Has the Lord reached out and extended His saving grace to you and touched you? Have you ever broken through the crowd? Have you ever just really not cared what anyone else would say and say, I must have Jesus? Have you ever cast yourself before Him and said, Lord, if You are willing, make me clean as a pure driven snow, as only You can? Jesus says, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though you be red, though they be red as crimson, they shall be white as wool. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Master's touch. Finally, I want you to see the Lord's command. The Lord's command in verse 43. And He sternly warned him. What a shift in emotion. He went from this compassion and this tender touch to now He flares up with holiness. And sternly warned him. This word sternly warned denotes strong emotion. It's a strong tone to it. It's almost a rebuke. It's a powerful warning. He sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And He said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone. How strange this is for our ears to hear this. The same Lord who says, shout it from the housetops. The same Lord who says, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. The same Lord who says, go into all nations and make disciples in My name. The same Lord who says, proclaim repentance in My name to all the nations, says to this healed leper, say nothing to anyone. Why? There's a lesson for here for us to learn that will shape the direction of this church and this ministry. See that you say nothing to anyone. Why? So there will be no misunderstanding what the primary mission is. And if you go out and tell people, my ministry will become diverted and in danger of becoming a sideshow, which is what a healing ministry is. Jesus is saying, I don't want to ever be known for having a healing ministry. I have the power to heal, and I do heal, but God forbid that be what my ministry be about. I have come to preach the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. Don't tell anyone what I have done for you. Because people will be coming to church for all the wrong reasons. Look at the end of the next verse. Or just look what happens in the next verse, period. But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around in direct disobedience to the Lord. And no doubt there was such an excitement and an enthusiasm that rose up within his own soul. He just could not contain it on the inside. And he ran the stop sign of what the Lord had put up when he said, do not tell anyone, because Jesus knew exactly what would happen if he went out into the streets and began to tell everyone, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. But that's what the man did, and look at the result and what happened, and Jesus was dead on right. He went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around, the very thing Jesus did not want to happen. To such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas. They were waiting at the city gate for all the wrong reasons, caring not about their soul, but only wanting the temporary band-aid of a physical healing, without attending to the real business for which Christ had come into the world to announce salvation and to bring His saving grace to those who had the leprosy of sin within them. In verse 44, Jesus had said, after He said, see that you say nothing to anyone, Jesus said, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them. And Leviticus chapter 14, virtually the whole chapter is just a laundry list of what you should do if someone who has leprosy is ever actually really healed. It could only be by God. There could be no psychosomatic healing, there could be no mind alteration healing, not with leprosy, and so that it would be verified, and so that it would be documented, so that the people would know that it truly was the hand of the Lord that did this, and not some quack on television who claims to have had something that has happened to him. Leviticus 14, verses 2 through 31, lays this out. These are the requirements. You go to the priest and you go through these steps so that there can be no doubt about the documentation that yes, you have been healed of your leprosy. So Jesus, in compliance to the Mosaic law, Jesus, in compliance to what was recorded in Leviticus chapter 14, says to this man, go to the priest now and offer for your cleansing what Moses had commanded as a testimony to them, and let the priests be the first to know of my power and of my grace. You go tell it to the spiritual leaders and let them digest this truth of the gospel. What an extraordinary encounter this is by the Lord Jesus Christ with this leper. This miracle reveals our Lord's authority over all that there is in this world, and it reveals His compassion, and it reveals His mercy and His pity for those who are in great need. The Lord is not a stoic. He is a sovereign with flaming passion and with intense, fervent love for those who are in need. If you find yourself here today without Christ, I want you to know, first of all, you have a deadly plague. When Adam sinned, the plague of sin spread to the entire human race. And when we were all born, we were born with the plague of spiritual leprosy within us. We were born still born. We were born dead, if you will, spiritually dead. And there's not a one of us here today who did not enter into this world with the plague of the corruption and the defilement of sin within us. And you need to understand that there is only one healing power that can take away the sin from your life. And that is the touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you would be healed, and if you would be made new, and if you would be a new person, and the leprosy of sin leave you, then you must come as this leper did, not merely to church, but to Christ Himself, to the risen, living Christ, and to come to Him and beseech Him this day, and to implore Him and to beg Him to save you, and to throw yourself upon His mercy, knowing you have no demands of Him, and ask Him to cleanse you. And if you will come to Him in this way, as He has prescribed, him who comes unto me, I will in no wise cast out. If you have never broken through the crowd, if you have never gotten up from the life of sin in which you have sat, if you have never gotten up and gone to Jesus, hear this. You must arise and go to Him. And if you will go to Him, He will say to you, I am willing. Be cleansed. And one touch, and you'll never be the same again. And your whole life has been on a route of self-destruction for years. And in one moment, you will be made new. That's what it is to know the Master's touch in your life. And you know what is so mind-boggling? Is that people would choose to hang on to their leprosy and live in isolation in a leper's colony as the stench of the earth when they could be healed by Christ. Come to Christ by faith and repentance. Go to Him and He will save you forever.
Let's pray. Father, thank You that You have given to us such a willing, compassionate, powerful, authoritative Savior as Jesus Christ. How could anyone want to remain in their sin when they could be healed? Lord, I pray that You would remove the veil from eyes here today, that You would circumcise hearts, and that people would come to You as did this leper and ask for Your healing touch. Thank You that one touch and all is new. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The following has been an audio recording of Christ Fellowship Baptist Church and is under the direct copyright of Christ Fellowship Baptist Church. All recordings may be used freely for the ministry and application of the Word of God. However, written permission must be obtained from Christ Fellowship Baptist Church before any recording is broadcast or redistributed in any form. In no way should this recording be disseminated without the express consent of Christ Fellowship Baptist Church.